You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Anthony Broom and Chris Ballas on Thursday, March 7th. Make sure to like this video if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, and as always, head to thewolverine.com for all of our coverage. Brand new Inside the Fort up today here on Thursday. We got part two coming tomorrow on Friday, so plenty of reason to get in over at thewolverine.com. The promo code is UM1 for 2 months of premium access for just $1. You can join the thousands of fans on our message board, The Fort, so make sure to do that. Right now, we're going to get into some Michigan football topics, but before we do that, welcome on in the fellas. How's it going, guys?
It's going, man. What an interesting few weeks it's been, and I think we're about to see some more interesting few weeks ahead of us heading towards spring ball. So get some answers to some questions and see what happens, guys. But, man, lots of stuff behind the scenes. It's really disappointing to hear, and you know, it'd be nice to, I miss the days of newspapers, guys, where you just pick it up and something happened and you're like, hey, I can't believe that happened or something like that. But kind of knowing the ins and outs of things that are going on is makes it tough sometimes, but it is what it is. So that's why you get paid the little bucks, the medium bucks.
Well, I am happy for the current media landscape setup. It allows all of us to be employed and gainfully employed. This basketball season is crawling to its needed finish. A lot of discussions, a lot of things need to be had upon the conclusion of this season, of course. And then spring ball is, 11 days away now? So we're slowly, had the slow, long transition out of the national title into Sharon Moore, into the end of basketball season, into spring ball. So things have calmed down to a certain extent, and then other fronts, maybe waters are a little choppy, but good to be back.
Let's start with some Michigan football and with this. ESPN comes out this week with grades on each and every team that's ever been ranked in the college football playoff rankings. Michigan checks in fifth among all of them with an A grade behind number one Alabama, number two Clemson, three Ohio State, and for Georgia. And if someone would have told you this in 2020, when everyone's got a mask on and there's nobody in the stadiums, you know, you would have said you're crazy. But Michigan has closed out the four-team college football playoff era on an absolute bang. I mean, they've kind of owned the playoffs, winning it last year, going to two straight before that. They're the only team that's been in the last three of the four-team. Now it expands to 12. It's probably going to expand to 14 or beyond in a couple of years after, you know, this next year being the first with 12. But Michigan with an A, Oklahoma comes in sixth, LSU seventh, Oregon eighth, Notre Dame ninth, and Washington number 10. But man, Michigan solidified itself as one of the big winners of the 14 playoff era, despite not making it until 2021.
Well, when you go 15-0, right, and you have when you are the Georgia or the Alabama, the elite team, then you deserve it. They were we've said this how many times they trailed all year for like 30 something minutes, and most of that was against Alabama, right? So, which was obviously an outstanding football team, not as good as the Alabama teams of the past, but hey, you know what? You don't make apologies for that. So, Michigan is, I'll say this, that is the best team in Michigan football history. And to me, it's not all that close. I love 1997. That was a great football team. But when you go 15-0, guys, do you know how hard that is? There's a reason that I picked Michigan to lose a game, in the regular season, because it is so hard to go undefeated. And we've seen that. And yet they did it. And they went not only that, but they went 15-0. They didn't trail. They won their tough games without their head coach. They put up with a bunch of bullshit that they had to, you know, about sign stealing and everything else. And they came through unscathed. So very well deserved. That is something I will never forget. I'm starting to order my stuff now. Clayton came through and got us some magazine covers for the Wolverine.com that we get to hang on our walls that were oversized, and just can't wait, man. You know what? You get to relax a little bit and kind of enjoy here what they accomplished now that we have a little bit of downtime. It hasn't been a whole lot of downtime, but especially with spring ball coming up. But fellas, what a run, and certainly earned their spot.
Yeah, I mean, what is harder than going 15-0? Moving forward, it will be going 16-0 or 17-0. And, you know, again, I don't know that that's even going to be possible in this next iteration of college football. So, yeah, I mean, in short order, they kind of, I won't say, I mean, to a certain extent, came out of nowhere in 2021. But, you know, that 2023 team earned its way up the mountain. You know, it's, I don't think, when you look at that last month of the year, outside of what was going on off the field, but just, you know, going to Penn State, going to Maryland, playing Ohio State, you know, the Big Ten championship game, the college football playoff. I mean, I don't know. Few teams have earned it the way that that Michigan team earned it. And, you know, I mean, I haven't really poured through rankings. I haven't really sat down and thought about it all that much because we're still kind of coming down from what was, and time will be the best perspective on it. But, you know, short of that 2019 LSU team with Joe Burrow and all those weapons on offense and all those guys that they sent to the league, and then that Georgia team that Michigan saw in 2021, I mean, I can't remember a more dominant, more impressive run to a national championship than this one that we saw Michigan did. So, again, it's going to look a lot different moving forward with an expanded playoff that is only going to get bigger and is only probably going to get more stupid and more like an invitational if these conferences and TV networks get what they want. But the way that Michigan cut and dry just went out and handled its business this year, I mean, yeah, that's something that we're going to be talking about for a long time. And I don't think we'll ever see a Michigan team that's that loaded and that, you know, flawless probably ever again.
And Zach Zinter said that at the combine over the weekend, where he said, there will probably never be a culture like that again, just because of the way the sport's changing and the way that they had all these guys that wanted to come back instead of go to the NFL. I mean, and then you're sitting there at the combine talking to these guys. It's like, yeah, Blake Corum could have been there last year. Trevor Keegan could have been there last year. Zach Zinter could have been there last year. And there were others. So they were able to come back and do that. There was a poll on our message board on Tuesday, and I'm looking at it right now, and it says, would Michigan 2023 beat Georgia, the 2021 team that Michigan lost to quite handily in the Orange Bowl? And 56.8% of Michigan fans, diehard Michigan fans, out of about over 300 votes say that Georgia would have won that game. And then you look at ESPN as a ranking that came out before this year's college football playoff of the top teams in the CFP era. And actually, they have 2022 Georgia ranked ahead of 2021, number three and number five, respectively. The 2020 Alabama team, which was loaded at one, 2019 LSU is number two. I do wonder, when they do that next December, where that Michigan team, where this last Michigan team will have ranked among all college football playoff teams or teams of all time. I mean, there are only what, I think four that went 15-0 during that era, because most of them had the loss. Even 2021 Georgia loses that game in the SEC championship to Alabama. So yeah, AB, you're right. Like, it'll just be interesting. I mean, we can have one perspective on it. It'll be interesting to see what others feel like with that Michigan team. But, I mean, it is one of the probably the best teams, I would say, in college football history. Not just
Michigan. We aren't necessarily unbiased when it comes to that, right? So
you were in a bubble, right? You watch one team exactly, you know, most of the time.
But I will say that the 2021 Georgia football team was probably the best college football team that I've ever seen, honestly. And that's saying something, right, given what we've seen these last several years and all the great Alabama teams there were. So the high-end talent on that team was just absolutely sick. And the way they just bullied Michigan and pushed them around, to me, was they were flat out dominant. So, and they did lose a game that year. But, you know, great teams tend to lose ball games every now and then. That's why I picked Michigan to lose a game before the season. Of course, I did pick them during the week to beat Penn State. And, you know, you don't know. I mean, like, for example, we can make our predictions now, and we will in the football preview about what we expect to happen in the fall. But there are so many things that can change between now and then. You know, like I would right now, if I say if Michigan gets a decent quarterback in the portal, or if somebody emerges unexpectedly, in my opinion, they're 9-3 and pushing for a playoff spot, you know, as a floor. I think the defense is that good. And everybody talks about the schedule. A lot of those teams still have to come to Michigan, right? Have to come to Ann Arbor and play, which is not easy. Everybody's looking at Texas as a loss. I'm not seeing that one as a loss just yet. I can't wait to see that game. Got to get a quarterback, though, fellas. That's where it starts. But I think that offensive line's going to be good. Anyway, I kind of got off on a tangent there. But I am excited to see what they do this spring. I know we're going to be talking about that in a minute.
Yeah, just again, I think the last thing I would say is the passage of time. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who ends up where, who does what in the NFL. You know, they have those 18 guys that were at the combine. I don't think it's crazy to think that 16 or 17 of them could get drafted, if not all of them. So, I mean, the further and further you get away from it, like you go back and look at that 2001 Miami team. I mean, you had Willis McGahee, you had Clinton Portis, you had Frank Gore. That's just your running back room. You go all over the defense. You had Ed Reed, you had Sean Taylor, you had Vince Wilfork. You know, if we look back on this team 5-10 years from now, and Michigan has that level of guys in the NFL in terms of guys that make Pro Bowls, guys that win Super Bowls, it's going to add another layer to the mystique of having all that talent in the room at the same time. And really, the same goes for the coaching staff too, given that you know, Harbaugh's back in the NFL, and you have guys sprinkled throughout the league now. So I think the passage of time is going to be very kind to how this Michigan team is viewed, and people might also, you know, yearn for the days where it was that good. So we'll see what happens.
What would you guys what would a point spread be for the 2021 Georgia team that Michigan played against 2023 Michigan on a neutral field?
On a neutral field, Georgia by 4, maybe 3.
I was leaning like 4.5.
Yeah.
3, 3.5, 4.5, something like that. Mm-hmm. Which honestly, if they had played Georgia this year, I don't think that would have been that crazy of a point spread, at least in terms of what, you know, Vegas was throwing out there. So, but I guess we'll never know because they didn't make it. So,
yeah. And I'll say this, you know what? Michigan beat an Alabama team that wasn't great. They still had elite players all over the place, but we saw from the get-go in that game that Michigan defense was going to be a handful for Alabama. And that game went back and forth. It's not like Michigan dominated. It's not like Alabama dominated. That was a pretty damn even game that could have gone either way. Both teams made their mistakes. So, and that Alabama team certainly was not 2021 Georgia, not even close, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I would even give Michigan even more credit and say that was a great Alabama team. They went undefeated in the SEC. They won the SEC, you know, and
by their standards, Clay, is what I'm getting at. They were a very, very good team, but by their standards, that was not a great Alabama team.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if great is just winning at all, then maybe for them. But I mean, man, that was a great team. It was the second most talented team on paper in college football history in terms of recruiting rankings. So I would actually put Michigan against Georgia 2021, not that it matters, closer at maybe Georgia -1 or something like that. But that offense was not all that good throughout the year. They had more dogs than Michigan. That Michigan defense in 2021, really, when you look back at the talent, I mean, they upgraded so much at almost every position over a two-year span by the next time they played an SEC power like that. They knew what to do. They double-teamed Aiden Hutchinson basically every time. I think it would have been different, but yeah, it would have been, you know, now Michigan's in that rare era where you can compare champion to champion. And I guess at the end of the day, it's a great spot to be in for the 2023 team that forever they have that, as Jim Harbaugh said, it's a walk that they can walk around with now as natty champs. Let's move into this year's team a little bit more. And a couple of things that we were able to take away from player press conferences at the NFL Combine, one of them being Justin Tress, Michigan's new strength coach. The players who were there obviously worked under him. He was at Michigan for 6 years before this promotion, just like Sherrone Moore. They came in at the same time, was there the entire time. Ben Herbert was there. You know, players definitely like him, his positivity, that he's built relationships with the players throughout the years. And then my favorite quote from Braden McGregor talking about what they got going on now under Jay Tress is turn up Saturdays, which are, and I'll read the quote. I know he's got these turn up Saturdays going on right now where the boys are getting lit in the weight room, shirts off, water bottles squirting. he said. And then that, I think, you know, I would like a little more context there. That could be, you know, what a scene you could start to envision there. But yeah. Seems like a lot of positive reviews. Basically, every guy at the Combine got asked about him. And then Justin Trust joined John Jansen on his podcast earlier this week and talked a little bit about what they've got going on over the last several weeks since his promotion.
Yeah, I'm envisioning an SNL skit when you say that, the water bladders and everything else. That's where that's,
like, please elaborate, Braden, on what
that is as far as I'm going with that. So, but I will say that I think they respect him, right? They view him differently than they did Ben Herbert, and that's okay. Ben Herbert was a father figure to a lot of these guys. They loved him. And Justin Truss is more like a big brother type, right? So, but he's got the same mannerisms in terms of how he does things. He's got the same lifts. Everybody that we've spoken with, parents and kids and everybody else, says the same thing, that it feels similar in that respect. So there's going to be change, guys, on football teams. This was a big loss. Ben Herbert was a big loss, yep. But that was taking nothing away from Justin Truss, who I think can do a good job. So when it's all together is when it's more magnified, right? When you lose your DC, you lose your strength coach, you lose your position coach, because guys in this age want to feel comfortable where they are. I give them credit, the leaders, for keeping the core of this team together so far. And again, we still have to get through spring and see what happens with NIL and stuff like that in the portal. But to me, this speaks to the character and the leadership on this team. I am very interested to see who the other leaders are that emerge, because there aren't a whole lot of candidates. If you think about captains, right, for next year, I'm thinking, you know, Colston Loveland's kind of a quiet guy. You know, if you do an interview with him, you might get 500 word article out of it. Right. Rod Moore is a no brainer to me as a defensive captain. But who are those guys on offense? That's going to be something that's going to be big. That's going to have to emerge. So, but overall, to me, I like the fact that there was some cohesion there. I don't always agree with promoting the next guy and making, you know, the lazy hire. But in this case, I think it was warranted and it needed to be done.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and it's all about, at the end of the day, the results, too. Like, yes, did Ben Herbert have a presence about him? Did he have that scowl? Did he have that, you know, 1,000-yard stare? You know, could burn a hole in someone's chest. You know, yes.
But I'm not afraid of him anymore, for the record. So
because I gave you because I gave him $5 to interview him, and he answered the call. Clayton Safey answers any call.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, great. He does.
I'm not as afraid of Jay Trust, though. No offense to Jay Trust.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, give it time. Maybe maybe he'll develop that sort of persona as well, but. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when you boil it all down, yes, it's going to look a lot bit different. But what are the results? What are the gains that guys are making, you know, in the weight room with some of the with their movements? Are they getting quicker? Are they getting faster? Are they getting bigger? That, at the end of the day, is going to, you know, that's everything. As long as you can maintain that, and, you know, they've got Abigail O'Connor there again. They speak, you know, a couple guys spoke about how important she is in that program in terms of getting guys' bodies right, you know, making sure they're putting the right type of foods in, you know, depending on what their needs are. You know, to me, I think having that continuity with your training and your nutrition, I think is one of the most important things that they could have had. And again, you know, when you have a guy who was Ben Herbert's right-hand man and you have, you know, a lot of the same people in that sort of realm, still controlling what that's going to look like, I don't expect much of a drop off there. I really don't. Again, you know, you talk to parents, you talk to players. I don't think people realize, you know, the strength and conditioning coaches within your program, you probably spend the most time with them out of anyone else. So, you know, in terms of setting a culture, in terms of maintaining a culture, I mean, I think that's one of the most critical jobs and critical roles within a football, a college football organization. And so far, the early reviews have been pretty positive. So again, right now, everything's kind of rosy because it's got that new car smell to it, right? While still being familiar. But yeah, I mean, the reviews were good from the combine. All of those guys spoke glowingly and even got, you know, a bit of a, no, the combine's a bit of a, it's so routine and so you're always moving to stations. But when you ask about a Justin Tress, when you ask about an Abigail O'Connor, you do see those guys kind of perk up a little bit and get excited to talk about them. And I think that that carries a lot of weight to me. So that was good to hear.
As we were walking around Indy at the convention center there, you and I, Anthony, were talking about that. And it's like, oh, these guys love this guy, you know, they like him. But as you said, the results are going to be what really speaks to it. I mean, and you're not going to find that out for a while. Like, there's a difference between liking a guy and a guy being effective. And, you know, from that respect, like we said, it seems like it's been positive so far. But as you astutely point out, you know, the results are going to be what matter there. He did talk with John Jansen about the first training session he had after John or after Ben Herbert moved on. And as we talked about on this podcast weeks ago, after Herbert's departure, I mean, a lot of these kids were pretty upset, pretty hurt by that. And there's good reason why. When I was walking around the field and we were down there after the Rose Bowl and you're watching these guys celebrate, I was kind of following Ben Herbert for a little bit as we were walking out towards the stage. And every guy that stopped by, I mean, it was extremely emotional because of the hours that you mentioned, Anthony, that they spend together. I mean, a lot of the work is done with Ben Herbert. So now that's going to be with Justin Tress. He has big shoes to fill. The other thing that I took away from the combine, and then you kind of listen to these guys and Grant Newsom speaking a few weeks ago, is I'm all in on the Greg Crippen hype now heading into spring ball. I think he's going to be a really good replacement at center if that's the direction that they go. And you hear from guys that he was always in the film room. Heard that from Carson Barnhart, how they would walk by and he'd still be in there. Grant Newsom said the same thing. So I think that's a good place to start when you have a few guys on the interior of the line that you can really, you know, that really you can work with. And then you go from there. You try to find some tackles and the portal is going to be big potentially there.
They're hungry, right? Miles Hinton's going to play somewhere. Yes. Josh Preeb, I think, is a great addition. Our Doug Skeen kind of compared him to Zach Zinner. No, we're not saying he's the next Zach Zinner, blah, 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 blah. But we are saying that he's got some of the same mannerisms, right? And this guy is going to be a great fit, in my opinion. Gio Alhadi, I've been waiting to see more of forever. As much as I love Trevor Keegan, you know what? Gio, when he got out there, looked like he was getting ready to kill people at times, you know, which is a good thing on the football field. So I like that. To me, it is going to be about the tackles. Can Andrew Gentry make that next step? When we saw him at Canton last year, guys, at the Hall of Fame, I thought he looked good. He said he was getting better and better, but it takes a while for those guys to get it back. This is a former top 100 recruit, right? So I'm confident. I feel pretty good about him at right tackle. Left tackle is the big one. If Miles Hinton is there, you know, that's a little bit of a red flag to me. We can talk about how the tackles played this year, and they weren't true tackles, but you had an elite a pocket reader in JJ McCarthy there who could really sense the when somebody was getting beat or if he had to step up or if he had to step away. And there's something to be said for that, especially when a guy's played with a couple of guys for so long and he's that good at that. So they may not have that this year. So it's going to be even more important for those tackles to step up.
Yeah. And something I thought that was interesting. I forget who we were talking to, but one of the guys had mentioned, and again, these are Michigan's outgoing offensive linemen, so they're not super tuned into what the plans for this year's team could, but it was mentioned the possibility that Preeb could be a guy that plays tackle, which again, we know Michigan the last few years has kind of Frankensteined their tackle position based on guys that probably should be playing guard. I think you probably want more traditional tackles this year and this team. And I think that's what your best five features. But from there, again, I think Gio is going to step in right away and probably be an all Big Ten caliber type of guy. I am curious about Greg Crippen because he's a guy I feel like behind the scenes we've heard a lot about over the last few years. But then, you know, coming off of Andrew Vastardis, they go into the portal and get a guy. And then coming off of Olu, they go get Drake Nugent. So, I mean, I think I'd maybe be a little more comfortable if maybe he was a returning starter. Again, I'm not saying he's not going to be good, just Michigan has kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit with him. So, but I do think it's his time. I do think it's his job to lose. And yeah, the tackle spots are, Jeff Percy is a guy who I think if he has a good offseason can work his way into that competition as well. Has a little bit of starting experience, and it could also, they messed around with him at guard last year too. So something I've liked about the way that Sherrone Moore coaches and develops offensive linemen is that he makes sure those guys are cross-trained, because again, we've talked about, you want to put this body type here, you want to put that body type there. No, they're just looking for their best five, and they've done a pretty damn good job of that over the last few years. So I trust that they will come up with something. And I think really without making any more additions, I think they have a pretty good offensive line in that room somewhere, but I don't think another body or two would hurt either.
We're going to learn a lot about what Sherrone Moore is as a head coach, not just from, you know, in game, but also just throughout the 365 days of the year, how he handles the program. But I think we have learned a decent amount about, you know, I know Jim Harbaugh was in charge, but the way he managed the offensive line room over the last couple of years with the transfers coming in, when they got three that came in last December, a lot of people were saying, oh, what's going to happen to Carson Barnhart? What's going to happen to this guy? It's like, no, they're all going to compete. As Carson Barnhart said, Sherrone Moore told them at, I think it was last spring, that if you don't want to compete for a job, then this isn't the place for you. So the way he handled that, I think, is going to be similar to the way he handles the rest of the roster. It gives me, a good vibe as to how he's going to do that. It's been a very short amount of time, and the portal hasn't been open for them to grab guys since he's been the head coach. So April is going to be really key. I think, they may lose a couple guys. Everyone in the country probably is, but they're going to bring guys in too. And Sherrone Moore has been aggressive as an assistant recruiting out of the transfer portal. So I think that's going to be big. And you know who else is going to help with roster management and NIL and all that is Sean McGee, who is now official. You go through these background checks. You know, my brother works on nuclear submarines in Connecticut, and his background check was a couple weeks at Michigan. To be a football coach or a football staffer, you got to go a month before
I don't think we even had to show our driver's license to get into NASA, into mission control.
You're actually right about that. Actually, maybe we shouldn't be saying that on
air. Sorry, Steve Q. Houston. No, we gave them our names and stuff like that, and I'm sure they did some background work on us before they opened the door for us.
They checked our Twitter.
Yeah, made sure we had no, Russians in our background or in our family history, or. So anyway, that's terrible.
But yeah, so anyway, we're tongue in cheek there. But Sean McGee is official. A lot of the other hires are official that we've talked about. Haven't talked as much about Sean McGee. And this is another thing that, right, we're gonna in a year, we're gonna know a lot more about what Sean McGee's impact is. He comes back to the program after 2 years as the chief of staff with the Chicago Bears, and I know somebody who worked closely with him at the Bears, and they talked about how good of a job he did, how positive he was. His family was around, that they liked having him around. And then a coach who coached at Michigan, well, Sean McGee was at Michigan, said he did everything behind the scenes during that time before there was seemed like maybe a little bit of a falling out between with Jim Harbaugh, before the Orange Bowl in 2021. But he's now back under Sherrone Moore, and that we have the job description, a part of it from Michigan's press release, but he will oversee all aspects of the recruiting and player personnel departments, as well as coordinate the program's NIL initiatives. I think that excited people. He will handle the identification, evaluation, and recruitment of prospective student athletes in conjunction with the head coach and staff, and manage the roster of current student athletes while identifying future needs for the program.
Did you put that up, or did Megan put that up?
Megan did.
Megan's the best. Like, we got the best producer, man. It's like, you read your mind. You guys are like on the same wavelength. I don't know. I got a feeling there, but that's just amazing how, the thing with him, guys, is that he's just an outstanding person, and he didn't come here to try, fellas. He didn't come here to try. He came here to do. And this is going to be something that I think you see. We've spoken with him already, and this guy is a doer. He is somebody who has got a plan before he was even officially hired to improve Michigan's NIL. And let's make no mistake about it, it still needs to improve. There's no question about that. But kids need to know, what am I getting? It's not like Alabama, where the first thing they said, if I'm staying, this is what I need, because the culture here is so strong. The reason, right, that Nick Saban left. Yeah, okay. But the deal here is that He was brought here for one job. It's long overdue. This should have happened. This should have happened really a year and a half ago. I can't think of a better guy to do this job. I hope I am proven right.
Yeah, he's here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and he's all out of gum. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good. I think that college football GMs are the wave of the future, and a lot of programs have them already. But I think you're going to see that kind of explode over the next few years. So good on Sharon Moore for identifying that and identifying that. I mean, I know they posted this job publicly. I don't think he was ever going to anyone else. So, and I believe he was in the mix for the same gig at Oklahoma, and they're still trying to fill that position. So yeah, it goes to show you like how hard it is to not only, you know, have that, you know, have that within your program, but then to have a guy who's qualified to do it. Hey, it just goes back to, it's good. You know, you trust, I know a lot of people have been sort of uncomfortable with not getting the band back together, but you know, you elevate JB Brown, you hire Steve Cassula, you bring back Sean McGee. I mean, to me, a lot of that, you know, if it had been any other coaching staff or any other operation than Jim Harbaugh's that they had previously worked in, I may have been a little skeptical of that, but knowing how that thing ran the last few years, and what it takes to succeed and help build a program into what they ultimately became over these last few years. I mean, the fact that I really do think that Sharon's done a really good job of surrounding himself with people that he knows can help him get the job done, while also, you know, it was a need or by necessity, you had to overhaul the defense, but you've also got some new blood and some new voices in there too. So again, there's still a few more background checks that still have to go through. Probably will go through around the same time of Devin Gardner's red shirt, which I think we're still waiting to hear on. But yeah, I think it's been a, you know, once the bluster of the Jim Harbaugh departure and all of that cooled down, I really do think that they did a pretty good job keeping this thing intact while building towards the future.
Build back better.
Jeez.
What?
What? I'm laughing. Brad Hawkins also back. I like that move as a GA.
Yeah, he's a good kid. I like him. So we'll see. We'll see if these guys can coach, man. That's the thing, right? We can like everybody all we want to. What it comes down to is how good are these guys as coaches? You're replacing guys, let's be honest, like Rick Minter and Doug Mallory, who had years and years and years of experience with guys who have very little experience. And there's something to be said for that. So, but you know, it's going to be a very young staff and there's going to be some learning going on. And that makes me a little nervous, I'll be honest. And that's why, you know, when I said Sharon was the continuity hire, and if you keep everybody here and the Ben Herberts and everybody else, I feel a little bit better about it. Not because it's anything personal, but because he just doesn't have a ton of experience. And experience matters, as we've seen in this profession. John Beilein, as I've said many times, wasn't John Beilein until, you know, after years of experience and trial and error and everything else, to the point that he could see a game and in the first 5 minutes, the first 2 minutes, three sets, knew what teams were running against him and can make adjustments. You know, is Sharon Moore going to have that benefit? I love what he did when he was here. Don't get me wrong. But I just felt the best, you know, and I'm still good with the hire. Don't get me wrong. You know, he earned his opportunity and kept the team together, at least so far. But there's a lot of pressure on him as a young coach. So I wish him all the best. I think he's one of the best people I've ever spoken with in terms of assistant coaches and being a good guy. I've never heard anybody say a bad word about him.
Yeah, and he has as much pressure as anybody in the country. You're coming off the national championship. You know, I'm sure he welcomes it, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, the analyst staff, I do agree, needs to be built out a little bit more, but kind of step by step. Even once you get a guy, it'll be a month before they can start working with the background checks. But we will. That's going to be our show for today. As we said at the top, make sure to like the video if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel as well, and head to thewolverine.com. We got a bunch of stuff, intel over there. We will have full spring ball coverage throughout, culminates with the April 20 spring game. And then the transfer portal will be open at that point. So you're going to want to be in over at thewolverine.com no matter what. UM1 is the promo code, UM and the numeral 1, for 2 months of premium access for just $1. We'll see everyone next time.